person's life, then nobody needs to tell him anything. Automatically that haya will demonstrate and display itself. Therefore we see Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it comes, that he had more haya than a woman, a young girl, that is the inner closet of a home. A woman that stays in the inner closet of a home, you know, she hasn't been married, she's very, very shy. Even more shyness than that and more haya than that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. So anyway, he goes on to explain in this hadith, ثُمَّ جَاءَ فَأَفْرَغْتُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْإِدَاوَةِ Rasulullah, and because of his style and because of his mannerism and because of his haya, naturally Allah Pak made it such that his ummah loves him and the sahaba loved him much, much more. So much of love, they are prepared to do anything. So the Mughira is giving his personal incident that I waited for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come, and when he came I was waiting with the water for him in the utensil. فَغَسَلَ وَجْهَهُ وَعَلَيْهِ جُبَّةٌ مِّن شُوفٍ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started making wuzu, started washing. So he washed his face and he's explaining Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a wooden cloak on. Yesterday we explained that a wooden cloak was a very simple clothing. It wasn't a very expensive material. Wool at the time was easily available. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself also was wearing a very simple clothing, a wooden cloak. فَلَمْ يَسْتَطِعَ يُخْرِجَ ذِرَاعَيْهِ مِنْهَا حَتَّى أَخْرَجَهُمَا مِنْ أَسْفَلِ الْجُبَّةِ So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam couldn't get his hand out because it was a very tight cloak. Sometimes on journey when they would travel, then they would wear it a little bit tight. The reason being is, it doesn't get exposed to the sun, doesn't get exposed to the heat, and it doesn't move around too much. So it was a little bit tight, this one that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wearing. So therefore he couldn't take out his sleeves the normal way. He had to take it out from under the garment to pull it back, and take it out from under the garment to wash his hands. فَغَسَلَ ذِرَاعَيْهِ وَمَسَحَ بِرَأْسِهِ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam washed his forearms. He made masah of his head. ثُمَّ أَهْوَيْتُ لِأَنْزُعَ خُفَّيْهِ Hazrat Mughira radiallahu anhu says, and I went down to take out the socks, the khuf, the leather socks of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I went down myself to take it out. فَقَالَ دَعْهُمَا فَإِنِّي أَدْخَلْتُهُمَا طَاهِرَتَيْنِ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, no, leave it. Because I wore this after being in Taharat. Meaning now you can just make masah over that leather socks. From hadiths like this, we learn about masah on leather socks. وَمَسَحْ عَلَيْهِمَا The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he made masah about both his feet. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ وَعَلَيْهِ جُبَّةٌ شَامِيَّةٌ ضَيِّقَةُ الْكُمَّيْنِ In another rewired, the words come slightly different. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wearing a Syrian cloak and the sleeves were very, very tight. So here we learn a few things from this hadith. Every hadith we learn something. The beauty of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his amal was such, was his ummah was learning all the time from the actions. This was in the late part of the night, but yet we're learning so much from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First thing we learn is that a person, when he relieves himself, he should do it very discreetly, very far away from people. Or if it is, he's got a toilet, for example, that is completely concealed. So even if that is within the home, there's no problem. The next thing is, a person is allowed to help, is allowed to take assistance from somebody to make wuzu. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taking some type of assistance. So it is permissible where a person needs to take assistance in making wuzu. He can make wuzu. Another masla we learn from here is that it is permissible also to make masah on the leather socks, the khufain. If a person needs to, or is traveling, or just generally he wears it, so long it's worn properly, then it's permissible to make masah on the khufain. We start another chapter today, Babu istihbab al qamis, the desirability on wearing a qamis. Qamis literally translates as a shirt, but what it means in hadith is a long shirt that they would wear, that would come from the shoulders, beneath the knees, but above the ankles. So that type of shirt we're talking, not our type of Western shirt, but this shirt is from the shoulders till below the knees and above the ankles. That's why generally you'll find that our kurtas are sewn like that also. It starts from the shoulders, it goes below the ankles, below the knees, but above the ankles. So this generally is referred to as qamis in hadith. So here is Babu Istihbab al-Qamis, the chapter on the desirability of wearing a qamis. عن أم سلمة رضي الله عنها قالت كان أحب الثياب إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم القميص أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها she says that the most beloved clothes to رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم was this قميص this type of garment where it covered from the shoulder till below the knee of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم and in other hadith even the length the next chapter we'll do inshallah we'll start tomorrow Next chapter is the length of the clothing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he hung his turban and how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wore his pants, etc. All this is described to us in hadith. Subhanallah, this ummat Allah Pak has made it such that every single thing is shown to us. There isn't a situation where a person finds he doesn't know what to do. Everything is shown to us, how to eat, how to drink, how to sleep, how to enter the masjid, how to leave the masjid, how to go to toilet, how to have a ghusl. Every single thing, alhamdulillah, is shown to us to such an extent that what color is desirable, which colors Rasulullah sallam wore, which fabric he wore, which fabric he didn't wear. And here now we're talking about the length also of the clothes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes we might think that these things are trivial. The other day we gave the example and the incident of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that on his deathbed after he had been stabbed in the Masjid of Nabawi, in the Masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Masjid of Nabawi, after being stabbed and taken to his home, in that condition now when he's passing away, then some people came with nabiz. They gave him nabiz. Nabiz is a drink. They normally drink it for strength. When dates overnight is put in water, and the juice from the date is allowed to come into mix with that water. And the next morning they drink that water. It gives a little bit of strength, a little energy. So that was given to him, and when he was drinking it, that was actually coming out from the wound. It was such a bad stab wound. Milk was given to him. It was also coming out from the wound. Now Sahaba said, now we knew that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Amir al-Mu'mineen, is going to pass away. And that occasion, one youngster came and started praising Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. He came, the people were coming and they're praising and weighing, but one praise that is specifically mentioned in Bukhari Sharif is this youngster came to praise Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, and he told him, Abshir ya Amir al-Mu'mineen bi bushrullah. Glad tidings be to you, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, with the glad tidings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bi suhbati Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made you the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a glad tidings that is. وَقَدَمٌ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ, and you helped Islam from the early days. You made khidmat of Islam from the early days. You served Islam. In so many different hadiths, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself mentioned in one hadith in Bukhari Sharif that if there were anybody to be inspired in my ummah, not receive wahi, but to be inspired in my ummah like the people of the previous ummahs, then it would have been Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. If there had to be a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar radiallahu anhu. Sahaba mentioned that Islam continued to grow as far as izzat and respect is concerned from the time Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala accepted Islam. So much, such a great personality, and now this person is praising him, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is listening to what he had to say. This person then went on to say, ثُمَّ وُلِّيْتَ فَعَدَلْتَ, you had been made the Amir al-Mu'mineen and you were so just. ثُمَّ شَهَادَتُ, now you're getting shahadat here, you became shaheed. So this is the cherry on the top, after having so many accolades to your name, you got shahadat. And how does Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu respond? This is something for us. It is not only demonstrated by our clothing, not only demonstrated by our mannerisms and our ways, but when somebody has got genuine humility in his heart, even at the time of death also, that humility surfaces. And at the same time, a person has got arrogance in his heart, like Abu Jahl, just before he got killed, that arrogance also demonstrated himself. Just before getting killed, he's saying, هَلْ فَوْقَ ذَلِكَ هَلْ غَيْرَ فَوْقَ ذَلِكَ, is there anybody besides you? Anybody besides you, telling us Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu, is there anybody besides you that could have killed me? Oh, in another hadith it comes, he's telling him, is there anybody greater that you have killed? Referring to himself, is there any greater person that you could have killed? And then he told, and he gave like a wasiyah before he could pass away, that my head, when he's kept with all the other heads, that make sure you cut my head from the bottom, from the lowest part of my neck. Why? Because when my head is placed with all the other heads, then my head will be towering all the other heads. So even at that point also, so much of arrogance in the heart. So that surfaces itself when a person has got pride in himself. And when a person got humility, as Umar radiallahu anhu, a person is praising him, what does he tell this youngster? He tells, وَدِدْتُ أَنَّ ذَٰلِكَ كَفَافٌ لَا لِي وَلَا عَلَيَّ, whatever you have told me as far as my accolades are concerned, I just hope that I will break even on the day of Qiyamah. I just break even, that is enough for me on the day of Qiyamah. Anyway, just to, the last part I wanted to explain, that ties up with this chapter that we're doing and we're going to start. One person had come, that was Umar radiallahu anhu, sorry, the same youngster was praising Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. He was now leaving. And as he's leaving, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu saw that his lower garment was touching the floor, was below his ankles and was touching the floor. Immediately in that condition, imagine passing away, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu called for that youngster back. He called him and he told him, Irfa thawbak, lift your garment. فَإِنَّهُ أَبْقَى لِثُوبِكُ وَأَتْقَى لِرَبِّكُ. Because this lifting up your garment is more better. It will cause your garment to last longer instead of dragging it on the ground. And this is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this more, that you wear your garment higher up. So even in that condition, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala paid specific attention to the length of that person's garment. So sometimes this thought comes in our mind, why are the ulama making such a big issue about it? If this wasn't something serious, in that condition, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu wouldn't have called specifically for that person back and wouldn't have commanded him in this condition also. Because this something is very important in our deen. Sometimes we don't understand how the outward affects the inward. And how the inward affects the outward. This is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore we have the beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Both outward and inward. Both these things we should try and bring into our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun al mursaleen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.